Hi, the name's New Bronner, Dion New Bronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership, where I chew the fat with guests from many walks of life. Yep, I ponder the big questions, and we play around with some less significant ones too. I sometimes unpick the practice of leadership, delving into what it means to many. We laugh and we explore what it is to live with purpose and meaning. I hope you find the chat as useful as I have having it. Life, purpose, leadership. My guest today is Michelle Sheen from Instinctive Living. With a background in psychometrics, education, and law, Michelle has a great interest in human behavior and the human psyche. She uses her business, Instinctive Living, as a platform for collecting inspiring ideas and alternatives to the mundane 9-to-5 aspect of life and work. Who is Michelle Sheen? What does she stand for? Who is she?
You don't start them easy, do you?
It's a big question nowadays that we have in life. I think people are constantly asking themselves who they are. Maybe that's our problem. Maybe that's what we spend too much time doing. And given the latest palaver that we've had to live through, let's call it what it is, a pandemic. One must be honest. I think we've had a lot more time for introspection. And I guess a lot of people losing jobs and losing careers.
Yeah, I think the question has changed a bit for me specifically. It's not to who am I, but maybe more to who do I want to be? Because, you know, who I am, what am I basing it on? Am I basing it on the way that other people are treating me? Or am I basing it on, you know, my path of discovery of life?
Okay, then. So if the question is more, who do I want to be? And you started Instinctive Living this year, who does Michelle Sheen and Instinctive Living want to be?
Instinctive Living really got off the ground this year fully when I launched my website in March, just as lockdown happened, March, April. I am a psychometrist by training, so I've studied lots of psychology and research. I love human behavior. I love learning and thinking and philosophizing about life, really. And I also provide some virtual assistant services, which is usually within the field of psychology.
I love that because I love human nature. I love to study why we do things or how we do things or what we do or what makes us think the way we think, feel the way we feel. I'm so glad that we're talking today because I think this is going to be a fascinating one. Well, at least anyway, on my part, I'm going to be fascinated with it. I have no doubt. Others will too when they're listening.
I'm always excited to talk to you, Dion. There's wonderful things that come out of our conversations.
Okay then, so let's come back to this question then. This question about who I want to be. It's a question of life. It's a question of our life. Is who are we? Who? But your emphasis is who do I want to be? So there's more of a statement there. A more of a exploration of what I want to be.
And who I want to be is a lot more empowering, isn't it, when you think about it? I was going to say it's an affirmation, but it's not quite an affirmation. It's more of a statement of who I am. In fact, who I want to be is more of a statement than the others, more of a question of or influence.
Yes, environment, isn't it? So through this, whatever we want to call it, pandemic or crisis, or everyone was have been locked up, haven't they? So they at home, or they don't have that normal or old environment around them, which gives them a bit more of a freedom to create.
And it gives them a bit more insight into the question, who am I? Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Therefore, it's all that context around me which provides me with insight or data into answering that question. And your question I don't know if it's completely the opposite, but it is a different perspective on that.
Yes, yes. And I think that's the thing that we have or should maybe take away from this year, is changing our perspective to creating instead of reacting. Where I think your question is based in, how do I react to my environment? If I surround myself with certain people, I behave in a certain way, don't I? But when I come into a new environment, I have a bit more freedom to be, I don't know, maybe who I really am or who I want to be. Maybe they're the same thing.
Ooh.
So changing my environment, I can change who I want to be or who I am, which therefore one could argue could be one and the same thing, and is more proactive and creative, as you suggest, rather than reactive.
You see, for me, I always get really practical. I always kind of think to myself, when we come and we explore questions like that, then I think to myself, how to do something.
And have you come up with a solution? Have you constructed a way for yourself, or is it more of a philosophical question that you're still asking?
I have tools that help me and the people I help figure out how to be the person they want to be.
The most significant tool is finding one's purpose. Because if we find our purpose, we are able to create a more meaningful life. We are able to affect positive change and be creative, as you call it, rather than reactive. We have a clear path when we have a purpose. We have a clear direction. We don't necessarily know what the destination is, but it gives us a clear direction on how to travel this journey of life. And the tools that I'm talking about is helping you find that purpose and helping you live that purpose and creating a life plan to live it with ease and effectiveness.
You know, I think it's a lifelong mission for me, at least, to figure out which tools, and I think they change. And I think what we want, I was actually thinking about it yesterday. We did this big move. We moved countries with small children into the unknown, and it was hectic. It was very stressful, and there's been ups and lots of downs, and we're in a place at the moment where we've just gone through a pandemic and a lockdown. And if I think back 5 years ago, if I could look forward back then, I would have been so happy to know I would be in the position that I am at the moment. But it took a lot to get here, you know. So in a way, I'm living the dream I had 5 years ago, but now I have other dreams.
So gratitude is one of the tools?
Definitely, but we forget, because now I'm dreaming of living next to an ocean with warm water and white beaches. So now my little cottage in the country in Derbyshire doesn't seem so great anymore, because there's no white beaches and warm water. So, you know, do we change our tools? Do we change our objectives all the time? Or do we need to stop every now and then? You know, do we need a pandemic every now and then, a personal pandemic, to kind of stop and take note and say, like, wow, wait a minute, this is actually not bad. It's just maybe because I want something different now, but this is what I wanted. So I've created this because this is what I wanted, but now I want to create something else.
That is so brilliantly said, but also that is so human nature, though. It is, we're constant, because we're taught to constantly want more and achieve and achieve and achieve. And it's perpetuated in our lifestyle, in our society, in our communities by wanting more, by what's shown on TV and what's on Facebook or on social media.
Yeah. So, but now, isn't it why us as a human race isn't doing so great, maybe? You know, so how do we change that perception of things instead of, you know, turning inward and saying, oh, wait a minute, it doesn't really matter if I have a car that doesn't leak, you know what I mean? I can still get from A to B, or I can, you know, what around me fulfills me, adds value. I was just at a book launch for Mark Carter's new book, and that kind of that creating value is such an inherent thing. But it's the difference between your intrinsic value system is relationships and things like that, where your extrinsic is more to do with material and status.
Yes, your point about value and value systems makes me think of a TED speaker that I recently listened to, Emily Smith. She talks about there's more to life than being happy. And she talks about how our culture is so obsessed with happiness. But what if there was a more fulfilling path, she talks about? What if happiness comes and goes? What if the meaning of life is far more significant than happiness, because happiness is fleeting? And she suggests that serving something beyond yourself and developing the best within you gives you something to hold on to. I think there's a difference between being happy and having meaning. And she talks about four pillars that lead us to finding meaning in life. And one of the pillars is belonging. When she talks about it, she talks about belonging in the sense of having really deep and meaningful relationships and connecting with people, which for me is the intrinsic value system that you talk about.
Yeah, I think it's important to kind of realize our human relation, the value of relationship and feeling valued, instead of finding value on the outside, whether it's within
stuff. But success is measured by having stuff.
I wrote down some of Jim Carrey's I love Jim Carrey. He said, you know, he wishes everybody could get or earn all the money that they want in the status, so that they can all see that it doesn't fill that gap. You know, whether you become the president of the United States, if that was your thing, you know, it doesn't necessarily fulfill that need, because there'll be a new need, wouldn't there? Or there will be
something else
that you didn't get through the process.
Yes, which is much like your point or your story earlier about the cottage. You've got this lovely cottage, you wanted to move to England to have this lovely cottage in the English countryside, and now there's another need, another desire to want to move to somewhere where there's a beach and it's hot. So what we're saying is the emphasis or the focus needs to be on those tools or mechanisms that are more intrinsic, that are more about Emily's four pillars, of which belonging is one. By the way, the other three pillars are purpose, story, and transcendence. So there is gratitude is one of the tools. And then I'm sensing from what you're saying, there is another tool which is summed up, I think, in this word, which is acceptance, which I think is a massive mountain for a lot of people to accept.
Yes, it's such a big concept, isn't it?
It's a huge concept. Mm. And the irony, well, I find it ironic that we're talking about this, because at the beginning of this year, I did say to myself, I was going to have one word as my, let's call it my anchor or my focus. And that word was acceptance. So what we're talking about here is acceptance and gratitude being tools, being these mechanisms, as you describe. Acceptance and gratitude come when we have a clarity of our purpose, our direction. They contribute to giving us meaning in life,
but they are also tools to help us find meaning in life.
I feel that we're quite emotional beings. So what does it feel like? I'm more on a, does it make me feel good? Yeah, it's an interesting one because how much do you accept and how much do you want to change?
For example, do I want to go and live somewhere else? All of a sudden this year, I've been thinking to myself, maybe there's somewhere else I could live. I've created this business online. I could live anywhere in the world. So the question was, who are you? Who do you want to be? Was the one that you came back at me with. So I was on the how. I guess I'm just thinking about the fact that we've got these two things. We've got acceptance and we've got gratitude. They're clearly not the only answers.
No, and they're difficult to measure, aren't they? If you go back to your how do I do it? You know, gratitude, you've got different ways. You can write a journal, you can be... but how do you know that you've accepted yourself? You know, how do you know that... Or that you're becoming the person you want to be, or how do you know who's the person you want to be? So it's kind of, I think it's quite individual. It's quite a personal thing because we approach things so differently.
And I think a lot of people that I work with get into a mindset of judgment and criticism, and it's necessary in business to make judgments and
got to be measurable. Yes,
absolutely. If there's no ROI, and even the likes of me who try and avoid ROI, there is a need for some kind of judgment or
yes definitely. Because we're used to checklists, you know, can we check that off? Show me the proof. But in self-development or, you know, this road of finding purpose and meaning and these deeper kind of things, they involve a lot of chaos in the process.
That's a good metaphor, the checklist. Mm. If we remove our checklist, we have a greater propensity to be and to fulfill and live the life we want and be the person we want if we let go of our checklist.
Yeah, but see, that's the difficult bit, that letting go bit, because you can't, because you have to do things, you have to work hard and you have to struggle and you have to. I don't know if you've ever heard of Alan Watts. He lived in the 60s, 70s. He did a lot of hallucinogenics, but he came up with a lot of wisdoms. And
and from his drugs, he got some wisdom. Right, I'm loving this man.
He saw the world.
He saw the world. I bet he saw more than the world.
I think so, yes. We need to learn to be, you know, once you let go of the checklist and the how, you know, the hows and the whens, and then you find value. But we can't let go because it's all connected to something on the outside.
That's where I'm going wrong in my business then, and in life. And my desire, therefore, to work out how needs to be let go of in order to be. That's what you're saying.
Well, that's exactly it. Because we only know a certain amount of hows, don't we? So if we try and predetermine the how, then we might not get to the end.
How am I going to do that?
Well, that's what I'm struggling with too. But what if you let go of the how? Maybe there are other hows that you don't know about, because you only have a certain knowledge. You can only, you know, unless you let go of your knowledge and maybe entertain the thought that there might be something higher than us, that we are like a purpose which might just reveal itself to us once we stop trying to find the right checklist or the right hows.
I see. I think I misinterpreted you. I was thinking that the purpose, me helping people find purpose and meaning in life, was a checklist. But it isn't actually. What you meant was the actual to-do list, our fixation on getting things done, our fixation on seeing the material things that we possess, or our fixation on ensuring that we are accepting and we do have gratitude. But with purpose and meaning in life, we let go of those checklists. We let go of those things that we must do, and we embrace what it is to just be.
But I like the fact that we have come up with two strategies, just being me and loving the gratitude and acceptance. Maybe that's enough.
Maybe. And the letting go. I think the letting go is part of that process, isn't it? Mm. By being grateful and then accepting the fact that we don't have all the answers, maybe, or that we don't always know how, but it might happen in any case. I hope we can let go of our expectations, for the rest that's going
to
come.
I just want to say thank you very much for talking to me here. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you, Dion. It was wonderful chatting to you, like always.
So that's it. The name's New Bronner, Dion New Bronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership.